Was something that came out of CBS Miami on Friday. And it's about a story that happened about a month ago, but they just released a video on Friday. Authorities are on the lookout. This is in Lauderdale Lakes, CBS Miami. Authorities are on the lookout and asking the public for help in finding two suspects who robbed a couple of priests at a church in Lauderdale Lakes. Father Leslie Jean, according to Broward Sheriff's Office, was taking a fellow priest on a tour of St. Helen Church in Lauderdale Lakes on July 18th around 10 p.m. You've definitely hit a new low when you rob two priests in front of the church and have no remorse about it, says Kayla Concepcion of the Broward Sheriff's Office. The two suspects were caught on surveillance walking past the church and then prowling around the area. 4 minutes later, they walk back towards the church and jump over the fence to confront the priests in the parking lot. And it's that video that was just released on Friday. They found this video. After asking the priests if they knew the location of the nearest bank, one of the suspects then took out a gun and pointed it at the victims. Now, here's the interesting part. One of the priests refused to get down or hand over his belongings, and he told the suspect, "Shoot me." Fortunately, he was not hurt. Now, I don't think that this is the way we always want to respond when people are arming us at gunpoint, but it does point out an interesting thing. Why would a priest say, "Go ahead and shoot me"? I mean, that takes a lot of courage, doesn't it? To be able to say, "I don't care about me, you go ahead and do it." I thought about that for a moment, and I thought, you know what? Courage is an interesting thing. We're going to look at courage today with the Apostle Paul. Because the Apostle Paul shows incredible courage in our story today. Now, we're kind of coming to the last part of our sermon series in Acts. And the Apostle Paul is coming back to Jerusalem, and this is kind of the end of the book of Acts. And I know it's a big chunk of the end, from chapter 21 to the end in chapter 28. This whole entire thing that's in Acts, this account in Acts, is actually about Paul. And about his suffering and the things that he goes to. And as a matter of fact, some people have said that the last chapter of Acts is the sufferings of Paul. And it is. When we read this, you'll find out that he has incredible suffering. But Paul does the suffering with incredible poise and confidence and courage. So he comes from, the last time we saw Paul, he had come into Jerusalem, and now he's in Jerusalem in the temple, and people recognize who he is. He was the one that was originally a part of the Jewish people there, but then he had become a part of the way, and they are so upset to him that they're about to riot in front of Paul. Well, the commander, who had 1,000 people kind of stationed around Jerusalem because of Pentecost, he hears about this, and he goes and he immediately rescues Paul because Paul was in danger of losing his life. The riot is so bad that Paul is in danger of being killed by these people. So they go and they rescue Paul, they pull him out of the crowd, and they're taking him away, but Paul says to the commander, "May I speak to the people?" And the commander said, "Sure, you may speak to the people." So Paul turns around to this riot, and he holds up his hand, and he does a gesture. Now, what's interesting is that when he turned to the commander and he spoke, he was speaking in Greek. And the commander didn't expect that he would be speaking in Greek. He thought he was a rabble-rouser. As a matter of fact, "I can't believe you're speaking Greek." But Paul says, "I'm a Greek citizen. Why wouldn't I speak Greek?" You know, there's a movie called Braveheart, and there's this point in the movie where William Wallace is meeting the daughter of the King and Queen of France. She's a princess. And he comes into the tent, and she's expecting this madman, because he's leading these armies, and he's expecting something totally different than what he was, and he starts speaking to her in French, and it completely changes the conversation. And when Paul talks to the commander in the language of Greek, which was the, you know, incredibly powerful language of that time of the Roman Empire, he was extremely impressed by this, and the fact that Paul was a Greek citizen, he was impressed by this. And so he said, "Yes, please speak to the people." And so Paul turns around, and he motions to the crowd. Now, it doesn't show this necessarily in the Greek, but he probably did what's called an orders gesture, Because if you were a person that typically spoke to crowds, if you were familiar with how to speak to crowds, the amount of volume it took to do that, then when it was time for you to speak, you gave what was called the orator's gesture, which was basically holding your hand up and having your two fingers like this. And when you did that, that signified to the crowd to be quiet, and immediately the crowd is quiet. Now think about this for a moment. I mean, 5 minutes earlier, they're about ready to kill him. The Roman soldiers have to come in and guard him and pull him out. There's confusion everywhere. And Paul, because of who he is, in a matter of just a few minutes, is able to calm the Roman guards and is able to calm the people and tell them his story. That's an amazing thing. That shows amazing gravitas. It shows amazing stature. It shows amazing courage that he is willing to do this in the midst of all this persecution. He's minutes away from losing his life. And yet he has the wherewithal to ask permission and to speak to the crowd. And then he tells them this incredible story about how he came to know Jesus Christ. I want to have courage like that. I want to have courage like the priest who says, go ahead, do your best to me. How does a person have courage like that? Well, I know some people, they say, well, you know what? I can have courage because I'm not afraid of anything. As a matter of fact, they block out anything fearful in their life at all. My son, John, when he was a little kid, that's exactly what he was like. He would go up to the top of the stairs, and he would basically throw himself down. This is when we lived in Denver. We had a two-story house. He would throw himself down the stairs. We're like freaking out as parents, but you know, it didn't bother him at all because he had no fear whatsoever. None. Whatsoever. Little kids are like that, right? Little kids have no fear. And then sometimes when they get in their teens, they even have less fear. And they do crazy things because they think that they're invincible. The way they deal with fear is they say, nothing can get me. Nothing can overcome me. You know, the Epicureans that were at Paul's time, that's kind of what they were doing too. Their motto was eat, drink, and marry, for tomorrow we die. It doesn't matter about this world. I'm not going to be afraid of anything. I'm just going to enjoy the world as much as I can. I'm not going to be afraid of anything. But there's a reason why fear is in this world. Fear was put into our hearts by God. It's part of what makes us human, because when dangerous situations happen, we need to be afraid of those dangerous situations. But more importantly than that, when danger comes into our life, when we are afraid, it is an opportunity to turn to Christ and turn to God. Fear is a powerful thing in our life. It's what makes us human. It's what makes us turn to God. So don't deny that there's danger out there. There is danger, but there are other people who say, okay, I know that danger's out there, but the way that I deal with it is that I try to reduce the amount of danger that's in my life. And so whenever you see that there's like violence in Egypt because they're rioting in the street, you kind of go like this and you say, well, thank goodness I'm not in Egypt. I live in a very, very safe neighborhood in a very, very safe town. I drive very, very safely. I make sure I go to the doctor enough to make sure that I don't have any diseases and when I eat properly. And I'm trying to do everything and everything I possibly can to avoid any danger at all in my life. And that's how you deal with danger. And that's how you can cope with fear. But the problem is that those dangers are still there in your life. If Paul had never decided to go back to Jerusalem, then he would not have fought this crowd, but God had called him to go into Jerusalem. Sometimes God calls us to go into situations that can be very dangerous in our life. Sometimes God calls us to step out of the boat and to do the things that he's called us to do, even though we're afraid about it. So that's not going to work for Paul. He knew that there was danger. He knew that God had called him there, and yet he had the poise and the confidence and the courage to stand in front of that crowd and to tell him his story, even though that he knew that they would be upset and they would probably come after him and it might be the end of his life. What does Paul rely on? Paul relies on the fact that Jesus Christ had come into his life. That no matter what could come into his life, he knew, he had the confidence of knowing that no matter what, God was there with him in the middle of anything that could possibly happen. Here he was, about to be killed, and he said, you know what? This may be my last day on earth. It may be the last opportunity I get to share my story one more time. And so he asks for permission. He holds up his hand. The people get quiet. And Paul tells his incredible story one more time. He wasn't afraid of death. He knew that the moment that death would happen, that God would be there with him. that he would never have to be afraid. That is the way to deal with a fear in your life. That is the way to have courage, is to know that there was someone stronger than you that went through death, that broke through death, and that he is with us in every step of this world, in every step of this life. And when you know without a shadow of a doubt that God is with you, it helps you to face anything that this life can happen. Paul said, I am convinced that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor princes, that anything on this earth could ever separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. The priest that met with these robbers, I think, had a bit of that in him. Now, I'm not recommending that every time a robber comes up to you, you just say, fine, shoot me. I don't think any police officer would tell you to do that. But I am absolutely convinced that priest said, apparently he was a 77-year-old priest, that he knew that the moment of death, that he would wake up in the arms of Jesus. And he was so sure and confident of that, that he knew that nothing would separate him from his God. And so he was able to be bold. We are able to be bold because Christ is in us, and he lives in us, and he forgives us, and we will never be separated from him. In Jesus' name, amen.